Good morning. You listen to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. This morning, my special guest is Keith Campbell, who's chairman of the board for Mannington Mills. Keith, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Kemp. How are you?
I'm fine. I got to admit, though, this 2010 has been somewhat of a roller coaster on the residential side. Is that what you guys are seeing up there?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we started out, I think everybody in the industry in 2010 saying, 09 is over. Mm-hmm. And services was good. Certainly the first quarter and into the second quarter of the year, things looked positive. And I would say around May, there was a softening and maybe a little burst of steam along the summer months, but certainly I think a ratchet down toward the end of summer. And, you know, quite frankly, while it's a little bit better here in the fall, this is the time of year for residential flooring. And there is just not a heck of a lot of activity out there.
Yeah, I'm hearing this from several people. The fall selling season, which is usually the peak of the annual season, is just not materializing.
No. And I think that, I guess the reason that we're chatting today, I'm on the board of the Philadelphia Federal Reserve.
Right.
And there are 12 Federal Reserve banks throughout the United States. And on a Federal Reserve board, there are 9 directors.
Mm-hmm.
3 are bankers. Really small, medium, and large bankers within that region. And then you have 6, I would say, private non-banking members that are either appointed or elected. I happen to be one that's elected by the member banks of that particular region.
Mm-hmm.
And of the 6 directors that we have on the Philadelphia board, we have people in the oil refining business, people in urban development, food, flooring, aerospace, so there's a pretty wide dispersion of people that are in private industry. And then you turn around and you say you get 12 boards doing the same and even auxiliary boards. So the Federal Reserve System gets a lot of input on a weekly and biweekly and monthly basis from people that are out in the trenches, people like myself,
right,
experiencing what's going on in the economy directly. Oftentimes that barometer is interesting because it generally when you start to read reports, you know, the report was what happened last month. And, you know, monetary policy says we want to know what's happening right now.
Right. Well, you know, it's pretty neat to hear this because what you're telling me is that through this prestigious position that you've been elected to, flooring actually has a voice to the Federal Reserve.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, what we're seeing nationally is that you know, times are tough everywhere, but there's some zip codes, like in the oil patch, that have done a bit better through the recession than other areas. You know, certainly the Southeast has had it tough between Georgia and Florida.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough scene. You go out west, my heavens, between Arizona, Las Vegas, Southern and Northern California with the housing crises that are out there. Those are particularly tough. Here in the Northeast, in New Jersey in particular, in the Philadelphia region, we're about normal as to where the rest of the country is, about a 9.5% unemployment rate.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't really moved much here in the last couple months, unfortunately.
Yeah. So what you're hearing through all those various industries that give data into this board is that what we're seeing in the flooring industry is not unique. It's across the board, right?
No, and I think the tough thing is that the economic minds that are certainly more astute than myself, 8 of the last 10 recoveries out of recession, residential housing, you know, construction, has been one of the leaders as far as taking the economy out of the recession. And for a plethora of reasons, that is not going to happen this time. You only have to turn around and take a look at what continues with the mortgage crisis, the amount of foreclosures that are out there, as well as the delinquencies in mortgage payments. And it's roughly about a third of all mortgages, and even more in some markets, which is extremely distressing.
Mm-hmm.
And with that kind of angst in the system, we are going to be a follower and somewhat of a distant follower in this rather tepid recovery and not a leader in getting out of this recession that we're in.
When you say we, you're talking about the people who supply the construction interior furnishings.
Yeah, office. Yeah,
right.
Building materials.
Yeah, okay.
And it's, you know, it's a tough scene. And while the economists of us, I think we all got a chuckle a couple months ago when we saw the fact that the economic guru said that we were out of a recession in
right.
June of last year.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think it, here in the flooring industry that we feel that we're out of any recession at all.
Right. Well, so what is the prevailing thoughts? Is it change in the demographics? Is there a new normal? Why is this recovery going to be different than the other recoveries we've seen?
Well, number one, I think that the unemployment rate is the real bogey that we have to get over. At 9.5% nationally, or 9.6%, but that's just one unemployment number. If you go to the larger, broader index, it probably is closer to 17%, because the U2 number is the one that's reported, and there's a U6 number, which are people that are unemployed, not necessarily looking for a job.
Right.
That's a huge number. Mm-hmm. When you have that many people sitting on the sidelines looking for work, unable to find work, you just don't have the kind of household incomes of where people are going to be out looking for housing. Now, how long is it going to take for the economy to start generating numbers to the point that we start to see the unemployment index start to move? And I guess maybe that's a question that all the politicians are talking about right now, here a couple of weeks before election.
Right.
But we have to also understand that every year there are a million and a quarter new people coming into the job market. Mm-hmm. Either graduating from high school, college, graduate school, as well as immigration, although that's a rather small number right now due to the recession. Mm-hmm. But that's a million and a quarter jobs that have to be created just to break even.
Right.
It's going to take a long, protracted recovery in order to move that unemployment number meaningfully. I think that is one thing, the unemployment number. The other one that's quite interesting, and this has been going on now for the better part of the year, is the reduction in debt amongst consumers nationwide. It is amazing, and actually the economists are amazed that the American consumer has sort of shut themselves off from using their credit cards, going out and perhaps getting home equity loans if they could get them, and are buying now more on cash. And certainly within the Federal Reserve System, we see more and more use of debit cards versus credit cards.
Right.
And people not using installment payments and the like. What this means is that people have hunkered down and understand the fact that they have to live on a cash basis. It also means if they're going to go out and buy something, they're going to be shopping more and perhaps going in different directions than they have in the past.
Well, what you're telling me, a couple things. The unemployment numbers that you talked about a minute ago, that's usually a lagging indicator. So is it consumer sentiment? You're telling me they live on a cash basis. They don't want to overextend themselves.
Those are two phenomenons that are certainly there. Mm-hmm. Thus far, you can say that there is a recovery. You know, we aren't really feeling it in our industry. But, I mean, let's face it. The gross domestic product growing at a point and a half is not exactly robust.
Right.
I mean, it's a very tepid recovery.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps the guys on Wall Street are, you know, starting to, you know, see some activity as far as the Dow Jones Industrial Average and the like. But my heavens, for the majority of Americans, they're still feeling the pinch. Mm-hmm. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Do you think there's a demographic factor when you have the boomers? And a lot of people say the boomers are still the ones that have the majority of the wealth, but then you have in the workforce, you have the Gen X's and the millennials. Is there a factor there that's...
Well, I suppose. I don't have any anecdotal evidence to say, you know, something is happening.
Yeah.
There. I look at my own children, and they certainly operate in a different way than my wife and I did when we were first married.
Right.
But, you know, the interesting, you know, here's an interesting phenomenon. Shirley and I went out to dinner, I guess it was last Friday night, and went shopping and just wanted to get a bite to eat after shopping. We couldn't find a restaurant where we could find a table to sit down at. People were out, you know, on a Friday night in Wilmington, Delaware.
Right.
And you could not find a table. I mean, people were out eating, and certainly that's a premium.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good indicator.
Yeah.
But to my kids, they always go out to eat. They don't necessarily cook at home as much as my wife and I did when we were first married.
Right.
You know, it's interesting. There are some shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Kids, you know, the young consumers out there today spend a heck of a lot more money on electronics and things of that nature than certainly I did back then and do now.
Yeah.
They have to have all the latest gadgets, and they are willing to forego other things in order to have those gadgets.
Right. So there's less of building the nest, I guess you will, and more of living for today.
Yeah, I guess maybe it's because we spoiled them as they were growing up. I don't know.
Yeah.
The other thing that was interesting in just reading through some floor covering journals and the like is that we're seeing a shift in how people are buying. You know, the floor covering retailers have lost share to the warehouse stores.
Right.
And that's disturbing.
It is.
It's not a small shift. I mean, it's statistically very noticeable. And, you know, that's interesting because, again, as you take a look at the new consumers, I mean, they grew up going to superstores.
Right.
That's the first place that they think about going to.
Yeah, and not to get too far down this tangent because we're running out of time, but if you look at what happened in Germany, you know, if we go that path, then we really will be in trouble and flooring will all be sold on price.
Yeah, I think, though, that, you know, hopefully in our marketplace, people do want to have a superior-looking interior to their homes. You know, one other thing, Kemp, and I simply say that I'm an optimist. I mean, I'm not a pessimistic guy. And despite the fact that we are in a tough period and have been in a tough period for the last couple of years, and it may take us a year or two more before we get back to, you know, somewhat normal growth pattern. But it's still a darn good industry to be in.
Oh, it is, definitely.
There is going to be pent-up demand out there. The housing market will correct itself at some point in time.
Right.
The population is growing. It's not going down. It's growing.
Mm-hmm.
Owning a home, owning a business is still the American dream.
Right.
I don't see that changing. And while you turn around and you say it might be tough sledding for a couple years, the upside is that when it corrects itself, we're in a darn good business to be in.
That's right. And, you know, to end on a positive note, it's almost an anomaly, but usually the commercial market follows the residential market. And I know Mannington certainly plays, you know, big player in both of those sectors. And we're seeing for the first time in a recovery where the commercial market is actually coming back before the residential market does.
And, you know, it's amazing because an important part of the commercial market is public spending.
Right.
And you have a number of states that are having a tremendous amount of financial difficulties, and their capital going into new projects is severely limited.
Mm-hmm.
You know, California is a mess.
Right.
I live in a state, New Jersey, which is distressed. The state is trying to rectify it, but it's going to be a long haul before, you know, we're out of the pickle that we're in.
Mm-hmm.
And there probably are five states that are, and they're big states, that are really difficult distress. And you turn around, you take that public sector, and to say that the commercial market is still chugging along, that says the fact that it's an amazing phenomenon, really.
Mm-hmm. It is. All right, Keith, well, listen, I really appreciate this. It's a great insight, especially the view that you have being on the Philadelphia Federal Reserve Board. Again, we've been talking to Keith Campbell, who is the great-grandson of the founder and the owner of Mannington Mills. And you've been listening to Kemp R. and FloridaDaily.net.